April 1st of this year, we talked about Philippians 2:12. We talked about to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We talked about the concept of fear and trembling before God. Certainly is not a popular concept today. Most people prefer to hear about God's love, His long-suffering, His mercy. Have you ever heard someone say, "That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear about the things that are bad." Well, they call bad things God's righteous indignation, His holiness, and His justice. What is the fear of the Lord? The Hebrew word for fear means fear and terror. An awesome or terrifying thing. Fear of God, respect, reverence, piety. The Greek word is the ancestor of our English word phobia. It is easily understood to mean fear, dread, terror, or that which strikes terror. Fear of the Lord is often defined as reverence or awe. If understood from a biblical context, these also include a place for trembling. The question is, do most people make the connection? A proper fear of the Lord includes reverence and awe, being afraid to offend God in any way, says Hendrickson. A trembling and a quaking if one knows they have offended God and have not obtained forgiveness of their sins. Have you, or have I, maybe in past, done something that we should not have done? We can't wait until we ask God to forgive us. It weighs on our conscience. Fear. Is it always a bad thing to be afraid? There is that commonly held belief that fear is what often hinders and keeps us from growing emotionally and otherwise. Fear holds us back. But can you think of circumstances or situations where some fear is good and serves a good purpose? Why do we teach children to be afraid of the dangerous traffic on the streets? Is it to stifle their growth or possibly to save their lives? When drivers fear accidents, as in bad weather, they may drive more carefully. Well, yes, some people do, don't they? On icy roads, one guy passed me, and men just like it was on dry pavement, going down Mountain Parkway. Near to Winchester, I saw this car on its back in the median. This guy standing up on the shoulder looking at the car as if he's trying to figure out what happened. The police were already there, so I suppose they came along about that time. But when you and I know not to drive that fast, if we don't learn, we will, won't we? We'll learn the hard way. And many of our lessons are learned the hard way, aren't they? For all of us. When citizens develop a fear of respect for the law and those who enforce the law, the crime rate goes down. When people fear health hazards or diseases, there will be more done to protect ourselves physically. Just lately in our state, in our states around us, we're talking about MRSA or the staph infection. Just last week, I heard on the news, 3 students in Fayette County had contracted this staph infection. And now we've got schools and we've got parents telling the children to wash your hands. Use sanitizing. Not only this, we're telling our kids, you don't use other people's towels or soap. Use your own. Most kids in school, they like to use other kids' supplies. And I think it's just a matter of doing it. Fear can be a deterrent to war among nations, the fear of nuclear destruction. When people develop a sense of some fear about inevitable judgment, it can change the whole nature of their lives. The Bible uses fear, both positive and negative. We must never be afraid to do what is right. Matthew 10, verse 28. Fear can be powerful and a powerful motivator initially in bringing you and I to Christ. How many of us initially became Christians because whoever was teaching us or talking to us about the Bible told us about hell? Did that not move us to obey the gospel? But in time, the love will become the dominant means of moving the Christian to submit to God's teaching. 1 John 4:17 and 18, Galatians 5 and verse 6. Looking at the positive aspect of fear, it helps us to avoid that which is harmful or destructive to us, physically or spiritually. We must, however, admit to the other side of fear, that which can be emotionally and physically devastating and destructive. This aspect of fear doesn't hold us back. It can come to be the dominant emotion in our lives. Synonyms for the word fear are fright, dread, horror, panic. None of these words bring up pictures that are pleasant. In our world, more widespread and dominant emotional than anger, hate, jealousy, or love, or sympathy is fear. Fears accumulate as we grow older. We only begin with two innate fears. We have an inborn fear of falling and of loud noises. But we acquire fear of the dark, fear of people, fear of spiders, of snakes, and fear of death. Brother Fred was telling me when they were overseas in war, that this one guy in their platoon, well, he would go right down into a hole after the Japanese or anybody that was in that hole fighting with his rifle. But he was scared to death of spiders. You know, he wasn't afraid to die, but he was afraid of spiders. But, you know, that's one of the fears, phobias, I guess we have. And so we go on and we see that. We all have fears, I think, as we go through life. And we need to deal with them. And we talk about fear of the dark. Somebody said, what about the ghost? Well, your brothers and sisters, your siblings, they teach you about those things. And they scare you to death. That's why little kids don't want to sleep by themselves anymore. The older ones have told them some bad stories. Scared them to death. Haven't they, Brother Walter? Hair standing up on their neck. I can remember that. Scared to go to bed. But that comes with in time. We develop these fears. There are a multitude of imaginary fears that feed upon people's spirits and make them anxiety-ridden. We've all known the feeling of fear, whether it be of disease, accidents, lack of security, failure, or whatever else. We've all known the clutch of fear upon our emotional self. The cost of fear is high indeed. It's high psychologically. One of the verifiable reasons for alarming increase in nervous breakdowns and various forms of mental illnesses are feelings of emotional insecurity. Fear keeps people in mental bondage. But listen to what God has done. The Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, and through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It is high physically. For a long time now, it's been widely known that many people in hospital beds suffer emotionally induced illness, not referring to hypochondriac, but to people who show very real, very painful symptoms of disease. A person who had attempted suicide was asked by a physician, why did you wish to end your life? His reply was, I was afraid to go on living. I've asked people that were contemplating suicide, and they were scared of the future, of what might happen to them. Some were incarcerated. Some were planning and hoping that life would just end for them. Ladies and gentlemen, We want to live, and we should teach people to live and to go on and not to give up. We talked, I believe, a couple of weeks ago about self-murder. Surely want to include that as we talk to people and encourage them not to take their life. As we studied in our VBS, it's an alarming rate of young boys and girls taking their lives, teenagers. And we want to encourage our children that life holds many fears. There's many problems. But, you know, taking your life is not the answer. It's never the answer for anyone. Not just teenagers, but for anyone, it's never the answer to take your life. Remember we said 1 second after you've taken your life, you cannot change your mind. You cannot change your mind. You cannot repent of that sin. In hell, you will lift up your eyes in torment with the rich man. What a shame it would be. Now, I understand and I realize that there are people that take their life that are mental. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about people in the right mind. They think that they're going to escape all the problems of this life if they take their life now. We want to encourage them. That's the wrong thing to do. And we want to show them in the Bible that God has something better for them. We want to teach them about God. And I've been able to do that with some people that were planning and contemplating on taking their lives. And if we can help one person save their life and save their soul, then we need to do that. Modern life produces ulcers, high blood pressure, makes it difficult to sleep soundly. People resort to alcohol or other drugs to escape pressures and fears, and sleeping pills at night to try to get a few hours rest and relief. Much of what people seek to escape are real or imagined fears. It is high spiritually. There are fears that keep people from making spiritual peace with themselves and God. Have you and I ever talked with someone, the fear that they cannot be good enough? I've got a brother who says, I can't be good enough to be a Christian. Oh, but you can. We're not the ones that has to be good in that sense. It's through the blood, Christ's blood that saves us. I know we've got to be good people, good individuals. But salvation doesn't come from you and I trying to be good or trying to be the best. We can't save ourselves. I think that's maybe the answer that we need to give. We can't save ourselves. We have to rely upon Christ's blood, upon the life that Christ lived for you and me, and the hope of eternal life. That's what we've got to encourage people. They need to rely upon God. You see, the problem is so many people rely upon themselves to handle every situation. And when I get my problems all lined out, I'll be a Christian. You know, I tell these people, most part, you will never get your problems lined out if you don't come to God. The best way to stop this drug problem, this alcohol problem, or whatever this problem may be, is to come to the Lord. God is the only one that can get you through these problems. And without them, next year you're going to be the same situation you're in right now if you don't come to God. And so we try to encourage people to live right for God. We cannot possibly, in this life, be good enough to save ourselves. And I'll usually go to, when the people tell me how bad they've been, how bad things they've done, I usually go to 2 Peter 3:9, and I say, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise that some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to come to repentance. God wants everybody to save. If cost of fear is high, what can we do to counter this harmful emotion? The frightened child goes to mother or father and seeks comfort to allay fears that grip them. You know, when a child is afraid, what's the first thing they do? They run to mom and dad and just hold them to their legs tight, don't they? For all that, Brother Daniel mentioned that lesson not long ago. I recall that, and that's what children do. Just hold on to your legs as tight as they can, scared to death. But who takes care of the fears? Mom and Dad, don't they? They allay the fears. And that's what we need to do. We need to go to God, don't we? Each of us. We're fortunate. Here's where the child of God is fortunate. He or she has someone to go to and upon whom they can lay their burdens and fears. I also have people within God's family we can turn to for help and support. This is where the family of God comes in, that you and I help those that need help. Need not feel isolated in their fears. Knowing we have someone to turn to, fall back upon, can produce remarkable benefits, physically and emotionally and spiritually. What a blessing it is to be part of God's family. Someone to talk to, someone to encourage us, someone to help us to go on the next mile. Now we want to talk about the cure for fear. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a cure. What is the antidote for fear? And how do we conquer it? The cure for fear is faith. Faith in God. Lean upon Him with all of your heart, and not to your own understanding. I'm proud that I'm a Christian, and I hope that you are. And if we're Christians, if we have fears, we need to take them to God in prayer. We need to build our faith in Christ and in God. Faith is the opposite of fear. It is confidence and assurance as opposed to emptiness and hesitation. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. A writer by the name of Westcott noted that faith described here has two elements. The belief that God is, and that He is morally active. In other words, it is a faith in the existence of God and the moral government of God. Matthew Henry wrote, Enoch was translated or removed that he should not see death. God took him into heaven, as Christ will do the saints who shall be alive at His second coming. We cannot come to God unless we believe that He is what He has revealed unto Himself to be in the Scripture. Those who would find God must seek Him with all their heart. Noah's faith influenced his practice. It moved him to prepare an ark. His faith condemned the unbelief of others, and his obedience condemned their contempt and rebellion. Good examples either convert sinners or condemn them. This shows how believers, being warned of God to flee from the wrath to come, are moved with fear, take refuge in Christ, and become heirs of the righteousness of faith. It is sometimes through you and I telling people about hell and how terrible it is that we move people to come to God. We have people that rebel against the teaching of God and move the other direction. We've all seen those people. But you and I are to help and encourage each and every one as best we can. There are biblical examples of people who knew the cure for fear. Joshua, after the death of Moses, was called upon to lead Israel. Now that the people were ready to enter the land of Canaan. In that land, there were many idol worshiping people. Joshua 1:9, listen to what God speaks to Joshua. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What do you think maybe been one of Joshua's fears? Would it not have been the people, this generation he's getting ready to take into the land of Canaan? Maybe they would be like the other generation that bucked, that looked back, that were afraid, had fears? Probably could have been. And maybe Joshua's fear was that the people would not follow him as he followed Moses. But God turned their heart toward Joshua, didn't he? So God, let's look, people, God can do anything. We're working with the God of the impossible, aren't we? He can do anything. Nothing is impossible with him. So let's lean on God. Let's learn a lesson from this. I know all of us can be like though the man, the slothful man in Proverbs 22:13, where the wise man said, where the slothful said, there is a lion without. Oh, there's always a fear, aren't there? We can find a fear if we're looking for it. Or all we can be afraid of this or that. But it is good for you and for me to put our trust in God, not to be afraid of the things that are without. The psalmist David knew why he need not be afraid, even at a time when his life was threatened by the jealous rage of Saul. I look back at the young man David. When Samuel goes to suggest his house to anoint a king, he finds David in the field, sends for him, Jesse does, and Samuel anoints David. And I'm thinking probably after this is probably when David, after his anointing, that he killed the lion and the bear. And later, he killed the giant, Goliath. Some have asked, how could David, a young man, how could he kill a lion or a bear with God's help? No other way. How could any man kill a lion? You just couldn't do it. How could any man kill a bear? You just couldn't do it. How could any man go to battle against a giant and not only that, run toward that giant as a young man with confidence? It's through your faith in God, confidence in God. That's how they did it. David could just say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Again, in another of Psalms of David wrote, Psalms 27, verse 3, David said, though a host, now that's a multitude, ladies and gentlemen, a multitude should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Philippians 4:13, the apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Had Paul heard about David? Yes. Have we heard about David? Yes. Have we heard about Paul? Yes. So you and I can learn to be confident. We can learn to be faithful. We can learn to trust in God, lean upon him. It's very important for you and me to take confidence in God. Look also at another familiar words of Psalms 46, 1 and 2. God is our refuge and a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. No matter what natural disaster, no matter what storm comes our way, no matter what happens, you and I can lean upon God. We can trust in him through all the problems and difficulties of life. There is a poem by Anna Johnson Flint which goes this way. I know not, but God knows. O blessed rest from fear. All my unfolding days to him are plain and clear. Each anxious puzzle, why, from doubt or dread that grows, finds answers in this thought. I know not, but he knows. I cannot, but God can. O balm for all my cure, the burden that I drop, his hand will lift and bear. Though evil pinions tire, I walk where once I ran. This is my strength to know. I cannot, but God can. I see not, but God sees. O all-sufficient light, my dark and hidden way to him is always bright. My strained and peering eyes may close in restful ease, and I in peace may sleep. I see not, but he sees. God is always there, And that's kind of the theme of that poem. God is always there to help you. I can't, but God can. That should be an adage or something that we keep in our hearts, in the back of the thoughts of our minds, that we trust in God and lean upon Him. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, the Bible teaches us to hear the Word of God, to believe, to repent of our sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins, and then live faithful unto death, and heaven will be our home. The Bible teaches us that if you've strayed away from God, like the prodigal, you need to come home. God will welcome you. God's people here, the family of God, will welcome you back in. We'll go to heaven on your behalf. We will pray with you and we'll pray for you. We will encourage you. If you're here today and you're not sure about your soul, and we can talk with you, we can have Bible study with you, come to your home, meet you here at the building, you let us know. We'd be glad to study with you. Your soul is so very important. Don't fear what things are going to happen in this life. A lot of things are going to happen. Lean upon God. And when those things happen, then we can trust God to bring us through them. We need to have faith in God. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you've never obeyed the gospel, do that today. That's the good we stand and we sing. Please come forward.